Welcome back, my fellow mentality monsters. Today, Kyle and I have a brief but very passionate discussion about the U.S. men's national team's last three performances. This episode's different for us because we're focusing purely on the sports aspect of things and not so much on the mentality side. Kyle had a lot he had to get out of his system. So I hope you enjoy the show, and I especially hope you enjoy Kyle's very fiery takes.
U.S. men's national team wrapped up this winter bracket of World Cup qualifiers with two wins and one loss, maintaining their second place standing in the CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers. And I have a longer list of issues than I do things I'm satisfied with the U.S. men's national team. First and foremost, do they not back themselves? Do they not believe in their own players and their talent? I don't understand the Federation's decision to play their game, their two home games in Ohio, where it was in the teens, and then Minnesota, where it was below zero, against inferior opponents. The only thing that could equalize in a game against one team with superior players and one team with inferior players is bad conditions. That's exactly what you hope for if you're the worst team. So if you think you have the better team, why are you going out of your way to do this? Well, you know, it's Honduras, it's Costa Rica, you know, they're not used to, or El Salvador, excuse me, they're not used to these conditions. I mean, nobody's used to playing in 0 degrees, first off. That's uncomfortable for everyone. You know, and secondly, there should be one consideration. Win. Yes, there'll be less El Salvador and Honduras fans in Ohio than there would be if we played the game in Orlando or Miami. Who cares? If the U.S. is a better team, they'll win. You missed out on the last World Cup. Why are you playing with fire now? They didn't even score until the second half against El Salvador. And you could see how uncomfortable the outset of that game was for everyone. And last night, yeah, they got lucky and they got a breakthrough early. The conditions were brutal. You could see how uncomfortable they were when they played in Canada, who, with all due respect, they don't have a choice but to play in those conditions if you're in Canada. You know, I don't understand it. There's one consideration. One, winning. I don't care how many Honduras fans are at the game. You know, even they, I was listening to Hercules Gomez, Football Americas, and he was saying that if they played the game in RFK Stadium outside of the DC Metro, that it would be 80% Honduras fans. Like, that's how different some of the diversification in some of the cities in the U.S. That's a challenge that it presents the U.S. Federation for choosing where to play these games. At the end of the day, who cares? You're better. Not one of their players would not even make it into your starting 11. They wouldn't even get the call up to be in the squad. If you're better, back yourself and win the game. It's as simple as that. And when I watched the U.S. men's team play against Canada, I saw one team that was getting the most out of their starting 11, and that was Canada. They were maximizing their talent. The U.S. looked like they were reading the headlines about who's headed to what club and who's doing, you know, this or that at this amazing club, trying to dribble past somebody and getting stonewalled and then looking up at the ref. So I don't know what's going through this team's mind right now, but they need to get it right between now and November. They're in fairly good shape in terms of qualifying. They've got one more qualifying bracket left to go, and I want to need to see a major upgrade in talent in production, firstly. And then from Berhalter's perspective, pick a lineup and stick with it because they need to establish that consistency going into the World Cup. Establish who your midfield is, establish your central defenders, and who you're going to rely on in attack. They rotate the attack a lot, way too much. Canada, to me, when you watch them play, they know they're feeding the ball into the likes of, you know, Kyle Larin. There's a central a central guy who's the main person in attack, and it really helps in this sport when everybody supporting that knows exactly who they're feeding it to and exactly what they're doing. In a World Cup qualifying format or a national team format where you don't play together that often. So when you've got clear ideas, you can execute on those better, and the U.S. did not have any clear ideas. Pulisic, every time he gets the ball, he doesn't know whether to cut in or cut out. Try to dribble past somebody. He was dispossessed 9 times against El Salvador, and he's supposed to be the U.S.'s best player. He was playing better for us when he was 20, 21 than he is now, and that's on the coach.
I was way more hopeful that things would go well when we spoke about this last week.
So when we spoke about this last week, Berhalter was in a position where he gets a pass for how the team performs because they've got results. They won these tournaments in the summer. They're second in World Cup qualifying, had a chance to go top if they'd beaten Canada. And we didn't even qualify for the last World Cup. So you let the performance go when you get the results. When the result goes away and you don't have the performance, guess what? You're under fire immediately. The team doesn't look like they know what they're doing. They don't have any clear ideas. And now you're not getting results. If the U.S. plays like they did against Canada in the World Cup, against a team like France or Brazil, they'll get blown out 4-0. Blown out. They'll get humiliated. And the last team, the last U.S. World Cup team, 2014, they dared those types of teams to come at them. It was exactly how Canada played. Yes, those teams were going to have more possession. But the U.S. was going to leave a foot in. They were going to make an extra hard tackle, and they were going to leave something on you. And that just really upset the more talented teams. And that looked like the U.S., the team that was getting upset, team that thought they should have been better. Those older U.S. teams really thrived on being ignored, being discounted, being underdogs. These guys are reading the headlines right now. They've got time to get it right. The World Cup is a very fickle beast. It's a 1 month, 3-game stint, and the matchups matter a lot. So a lot can change between now and then, and a lot needs to change between now and then. They need to establish who their players are and stick with that lineup. They're very young. So somebody like Ricardo Pepi, he's 19 years old. He just moved to Europe. It's understandable that he's not as productive when you as a manager have him in and out of the lineup. Pulisic comes in to qualifying on the back of some struggles at Chelsea with playing time, and against El Salvador, you take him off after 60 minutes, and then after the game, you say you need to build up his confidence. Well, actions speak louder than words, but you took him off. And players across the history of this sport will tell you when they're struggling with club, the best thing to do is get with your country, put on that uniform, be in a different environment with your peers, different people, enjoy the game. And you took him off. And you wonder why in the next game he didn't know whether to cut in or cut out or try to dribble past somebody or pass the ball, because you said, okay, what you were doing last game, yeah, we don't like that. I mean, as a manager, you've got to be better than that. And then to defiantly say the performance was good against Canada, Berhalter looked tone deaf, and he needs to get this right quickly.
We often forget that these athletes are humans. And your comments about like the environment they were playing in, I mean, it's so true. Like, what maniac looks forward to playing soccer or any sport in below 0 degrees temperatures?
Yeah, it's not that it can't be done. And like what the punditry in soccer calls it is a game like that is no football, or where you just kick it around. It's much slower paced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the American football fan, you're like, yeah, baby, 0 degrees. And it's like, well, look at the Packers. They like to throw it around the yard, and their reward for doing it well is they get to be at home and throw a frozen brick around for 3 hours, and they score one touchdown.
And they bill it as some kind of advantage.
Yeah, they're a better team than San Francisco. If they played that game in a dome, Green Bay would have won 42-17 if they played it in a dome. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. I mean, the U.S. team is dwarfs these other teams in CONCACAF in terms of talent. If you have clear ideas as to what you want done on the pitch as a team and you back yourself and your players' ability, go out and do it. Just go out and play the game. Take some joy in it. It's ridiculous to me the way they set this up. And their final three is at Mexico. Their final three qualifiers at Mexico. They play Costa Rica on the road as well, and they host Panama. Panama is the team in fourth place. They host that game. It's March 27th, so, you know, I would say the opportunity for the conditions to be as shit won't be there as much as they were in January, but win that game because you need to win that game to go to the World Cup. And the other draws are pretty tough in the March qualifying bracket. So
I wonder if Berhalter is continuing to tinker because he has a bigger roster than he actually needs for the World Cup. And he's trying to figure out who the right players are for what he wants to execute. And I'm curious to find out if in those last three games we see a lot more consistency in the lineups and the strategy, because there you're finally in the thick of preparation for a presumed appearance in the World Cup.
I do agree with that, and they play at Mexico, so the U.S. will likely absorb some pressure and play on the counter, which they have the players to do. They've got, you know, players with good vision, good passing, and then, you know, forward play. Pulisic will have some more space. You wouldn't back them to win in that situation, though they did prove when they beat Mexico 2-0 in November that, yeah, they have a really strong squad right now when you stack them up against Mexico. They could do it. I think the quality of the play from them will be better in that game than it was in this bracket. And I think they need to play with a recognized central striker. Somebody like Pepe. They need to be able to tell the wide players, send it in for this man. That's what we're trying to do. The more you get into trying to play like Manchester City, where death by a million cuts, we cut you up by passing and then effectively just pass it into the net. That's not, you don't have the time to establish that consistency and understanding in a national team. You don't have the time. They need to be able to say, in the countries who were extraordinarily effective internationally, they have this. Argentina knows we're getting it into Messi. That's what we're doing. Even though he's a wide player, different setup, but they had that idea. Germany declined after somebody like Miroslav Klose retired 2014 when they won that World Cup. He was older. He was, even though he was old at the time in that World Cup, it was like, okay, we've got all these strong midfield players and these great wing players. Well, what do they do when they get it? It was like, okay, pass it to him and he'll score. He goes away. Germany's not as good. Because all these players are like, well, do I take the responsibility now? They replaced him with Timo Werner, stylistically very different. He likes to run in behind teams instead of get fed the ball in the box. We need to play deeper. It changes the strategy. You know, teams like France, right now he wasn't in the team the past couple of years, but Benzema, he gives them a chance. It, much more than somebody like an Mbappe would. Benzema is a guy, clear idea. We're sending it into him. England made the final or the semifinal of the last several major tournaments because they know Harry Kane's the guy. Even Croatia, as you watch, Mandzukic was the guy. We're just going to, when we're in that position on the field, we send it in to him. To liken it to, you know, American football, it's, you have to have your guy who, he's our plan 1A. Cincinnati in the AFC Championship game, it was clear how much they were selling, the opponent was selling out to stop Chase. That opened things up for other people. There'll be much more space for the U.S. wide players if they establish a real threat centrally. This is the thing they have to do between now and November.
Simple tactics that are easy to execute while offering the team flexibility to be creative.
Thinking less. Think less. I will say, bright spot wise, McKinney was a monster. He was a monster these three qualifiers. Adams was playing out of position a little bit. I would say so he has a chance to contribute to that strong midfield. And they just, again, set Pulisic up to be in his strongest position and play with a centralized striker like a Pepe. I think that's their absolute best chance. I think they've established some good names in central defense as well. They look solid. You know, they're strong in possession. They just need to stop passing it left and right. Start passing it forward, which is a lot easier to do when you know who you're passing it to.
Right. The U.S. is in a really dangerous position if Berhalter is not the guy, because they haven't qualified for the – they didn't qualify for the last World Cup. Their team is viewed as a golden generation. The expectations in qualifying are that, you know, just don't mess up and you'll get in, which I think is also a big contributing factor to the way they're playing. It's like, you know,
yeah, I do agree with that.
Do the basics and what you need to do. Don't take any major risks. Like, you're going to get in. The CONCACAF table is structured in such a way that the top four teams are really obvious. And, you know, you have a solid expectation of who is going to qualify. I think if they get to the World Cup and if they get to the knockout stage, I think U.S. is in trouble if Berhalter is the coach, because the expectations are so low that any modicum of success is going to be treated with great applause. You know, you win a knockout stage game, all of a sudden he's the greatest coach ever because he did something that no U.S. team has been able to do in a long time. And if that ends up being, if he ends up being a problem, I could see him sticking around for a long time because of that small amount of success, when in reality, the U.S. has the capability to accomplish so much more.
Agreed. You know, I think they need to insulate in terms of expectations, dedicate the summer to getting some friendlies with strong teams, figure out their identity, figure out their strategy, and buckle up in November, because 2026 World Cup U.S. is hosting. There's going to be expectations, you know, much, much greater than what they have now. They're playing with house money now. They've got a chance to figure out, you know, who their players are, who their team is now in advance of 26. And I think most of the players in the team now will still be a factor in 2026. They're very, very young, very young. So it is important to keep that in mind as well, the youth and the squad. It's a big time. It's a big time for the U.S. It's a much different team than they've ever had before, because there's never been those expectations before. There's never been the level of expectation they have now. There's never been the level of talent actually thriving in Europe. So Berhalter has been tasked with a task that nobody in the history of the U.S. has ever had to deal with before.
Maybe that's a factor.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't have a rich history of success with the national team, so you don't have coaches or an organization that understands what it takes for a national team to be successful.
And that's my biggest problem with choosing to play the games in the cold. That's a small mentality for soccer. It's got nothing to do with toughness. If you're like, hey, in this sport, we're better than you, you're like, great, can we play in LA or Miami? That's what Brazil would do. You know, that's what a footballing nation would say. No, you know what? We're gonna rainbow flick it over your head and volley it into the net, because we're better than you. This isn't like it speaks to the American mentality around like grit and toughness. That's great. I get that. But as you said, this is a different sport. It does call on you to have some of those things, but in a different way. You frustrate your opponent minute by minute over the course of 90 minutes. Like, it's when you are taking the ball off of them, when they pick their head up and they can't find a pass because you're so organized, when you leave a foot in, you know, and leave a mark on them, when you consistently generate chances, that's what frustrates the opponent, and it comes from the quality of the play. That's what it is. And that exact mentality that you spoke of, U.S. as a footballing nation, was perfectly encapsulated by their idiotic decision-making about where to play these games. You're there. You're there now as a country. Act like you're there. Step into that fully and play the games where you know it's going to be 11v11, good conditions, and our 11 are better than yours. That's my opinion. Yeah. March, big bracket for them. Huge. It's going to be fun. As a U.S. fan and an Italian-American, Italy has got the playoff as well. They need to win those games to get in the World Cup. U.S. needs to win those games to get in the World Cup in March. So big month for me coming up.
Croatia is qualified.
Yes.
So I have one horse in the race at least, but I don't think they're going to do well because of everything you just said. They don't have that identity in the attack. They don't have a Mandžukić anymore. They don't have someone to lob it into. They're very reliant on Modric being the guy. And I don't think that he plays the style of game that you need to convert like massive amounts of goals. He's a distributor and a creator, and he needs someone to help him create. Perisic could be that. I've always loved him, and he's a lethal striker.
Yeah.
But he's a wing guy too. So you still don't have that person up front that you can lob it into. They've missed the Mandžukić type sorely the past round of qualifying. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, USMNT. I'm hoping that things turn around so we could stop complaining about how soft they are, as Gomez would say.
It's on the record. That's how they're viewed. I think it has a lot of legitimacy, that viewpoint, and it's something they need to get straight. It's something they need to get straight between now and look, things change really fast. I mean, in this sport, Italy won the Euro and they're struggling to get into the World Cup. You know, France won the World Cup and then they struggled in the Euro 2 years later. It looked like they couldn't even figure out where the goal was at in the Euro. So things change very quickly. Again, we'll need to see the group draw, you know, how the U.S. fits in against their opponents. There's a lot to consider between now and November. There is time. They've got their work on form.
Agreed. All right, man. Let's wrap it up here. If you enjoy listening, please like, subscribe. We're going to be posting on YouTube soon. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the platforms. Tell your friends about it. Comment, rate us 5 stars. All those things help us get discovered. And thanks for listening.